Yo, welcome to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live, your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution with other breaking news, culture, and magic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Man, oh man, Ray Dalio went on MSNBC and it looks like he had like realizations on live TV. I think I was making the case to Opti and Rustin before we went live. I think he's like 75% a Bitcoiner because he identifies the problems of, you know, the current financial system, right? He identifies them and then he asks a very important question, right? And we're going to get into that important question. I think that's the question that holding Bitcoin, saving in Bitcoin, I think that it inevitably leads for you to ask this question. Like it's inevitable that you ask this, especially if you're a Bitcoiner. So watching him go down that path is fascinating. And we're going to get to who Ray Dalio is for anyone who doesn't know and why he's important. We're going to get into all the details. And also, we're going to cover the ordinals thing, which was, it's interesting. And I think it really highlights, right, the importance of being very careful into adding functionality to Bitcoin, right? Bitcoin does one thing very, very good. And we should keep it that way because anything that we add, there's a trade-off, right? And this might have been a trade-off. Now, I don't think it's as a big deal as a lot of people say because I think that the fee market will take care of it anyways. But we're going to get into the details of it. Anyways, before we start the show, I want to give a shout-out to my awesome co-host. How you doing, Opti?
Doing wonderful, man. It's Friday. You know, it's Friday. We made it. We made it another week. I'm excited to hear Nico Jones get on his soapbox today. I know we're going to get a Nico Jones rant today. So it's going to be a good Friday. And on the culture, I think I'm going to bring a little thread in. And it's about a topic we've been covering a lot here on Simply Bitcoin. And it's the idea that Bitcoiners are consistently winning and the altcoiners are irrelevant. And we have the real boss, which is the ultimate altcoin, the US dollar, to focus on. And the central bankers are the ones that we need to focus on and to stay having the winning mentality that Bitcoiners are winning. All right. Anyways, Nico, go on.
All right, everybody, let's start the show. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin Numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today.
All right, everybody, before we start the numbers, I want to give a shout out to the biggest Bitcoin conference of the year, Bitcoin 2023. It's going to be in Miami Beach, Florida from May 18th through the 20th. You can use the promo code SIMPLY to get a 10% discount on your tickets. Let's check out some of the speakers. They're absolutely crazy. Speaker list includes Michael Saylor, Lynn Alden, Alex Gladstein, Matt Odell, Corey Clipston, Stacey Herbert, and many, many more. Guys, you definitely don't want to miss this. Opti and I are going to be there as well. Get your tickets to Bitcoin 2023 today. Anyways, at the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is $23,545. Sats per dollar, 4,246. Block height, 774,891. Reachable Bitcoin nodes, 14,343. Blocks of the halving, 65,109. Halving estimates, April 24th, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity, 5,315. Capacity value, $125 million. Realized monetary inflation, 1.76%, and the market capitalization of Bitcoin is $454 billion with a B. Anyways, so this Ray Dalio clip came out. And remember, this didn't come from anywhere. Like, this has been developing for a while. He's been saying his ideas on Bitcoin. He went from absolutely being a Bitcoin hater to being a Bitcoin fan. So he's kind of like flip-flop here and there. But I think he's coming to the inevitable realization about Bitcoin and the questions that Bitcoin makes you ask about money, which I think is so fascinating because I think we've all been there, especially especially if you've been in Bitcoin for a little bit. Anyways, let's check out the clip and then we'll talk about it.
You know, quite amazing that for 12 years it's accomplished. But I think it has no relation to anything. Okay. In other words, it moves. It has no relation. It's a tiny thing that gets a disproportionate attention. You know, the value of Bitcoin is less than a third of the value of Microsoft stock. You could go into industries, but right. Biotech and many other industries are more interesting than Bitcoin. It's not going to be an effective money. It's not an effective storeholder wealth. It's not an effective medium of exchange. But we are in a world in which money as we know it is in jeopardy, right? We are printing too much, and mm-hmm. it's not just the United States, all the reserve currencies, what's going on in Euroland, what's going on in yen. And so in that world, the question is, what is money and how's that going to operate? I think the question over the next number of years is really, what is money, not just as a medium of exchange, but a storehold of wealth?
That sounds like an argument for Bitcoin,
or for some
of
digital
currency. Bitcoin? Maybe. No, I think if you want a digital currency, you have to deal something different. I don't think that the stable coins are good because then you're getting a fiat currency again. I think that what you really would be best is an inflation-linked coin.
Right.
In other words, something where basically you would say, okay, this is going to give me buying power because every individual wants. What do they want? They want to secure their buying power, mm-hmm. if right. you want to save. Now, if you put it in Bitcoin, it goes like this. Who knows what happens?
Right.
If you put it into something, the closest thing to that is an inflation index bond and so on. But if you put, if you created a coin that says, okay, this is buying power that I know I could save in and put my money in over a period of time and then I can transact in anywhere, I think that that would be a good coin. So I think you're going to see probably the development of coins that you haven't seen that probably will end up being attractive, viable coins. I don't think Bitcoin is it.
So I want to go back to the market.
Oh, man. Oh, man. The slow realizations, I think he's like realizing the printing too much money. It's not Bitcoin, it's not stable coins because they don't solve the problem of fiat. It needs to have inflation in there. And then that kind of goes back to what we were saying about Warren Buffett, Charlie Munger yesterday, right? Which is like the contillionaires are trying to justify the continuation of how it is they got rich in the first place, even though the majority of people did not benefit from that system, right? It was only the people that had the means to save in assets that benefited from asset inflation. Real work wasn't rewarded during that time, right? In fact, it stayed relatively the same. So just fascinating to see. But like I said, like Bitcoin is inevitable. Like he's coming to this inevitable conclusion, even if it's ever so slowly, right? Like he's like, oh man, like that's right. But it can't be Bitcoin. Like, it's volatile. Like, yeah, we've said that many times. Like, that's their favorite excuse. Like, that's the excuse that Justin Trudeau said the other day, right? It's volatile. But it's like, fine. You're right. It's volatile. But, like, it's been going up and to the right like for the last 10 years. So it's like, if something goes up and to the right, I think the volatility is necessary in order to achieve those crazy gains, right, that Bitcoin has done. Right now, it doesn't mean it's going to be as volatile as it was in the past. But dude, like, I mean, I think that's the price you pay as Bitcoin like finds like what the market feels like is the store of value price. Now, I think it's going to get to a point where the Bitcoin market cap is going to be so big that the price movements are definitely not going to be as crazy. And then perhaps when that happens, it slowly migrates into a medium of exchange. Right. But I mean, it still needs to get there. Like, what did he expect for it to happen overnight? You know, like that's the only criticism of Bitcoin. Right. It's like if Bitcoin didn't have the volatility, then what would they say? Like, what would their response to be that? I think the next response is like a currency needs to have inflation. Right. Like, I think that's the next one. Like, it makes sense why Ray Dalio would say that. He's benefited tremendously from that system. But the average Joe, the average person, the working class. Nah, they haven't. They got screwed. especially like if you're under the age of 35, you literally got the short end of the stick really badly, right? And at least for me, Bitcoin was my way out. Bitcoin, you know, like I was like, dude, like F the system. This is screwed. I'm going to save in Bitcoin, you know, think long term. And dude, that's what I chose. Anyways, bro, like it's fascinating. And I think what's going to be even more fascinating, Opti, is that in the next 5 years, as Nayib Bukele and Michael Saylor become vindicated, right, their ideas become vindicated, it's going to be interesting watching a lot of the most powerful people in the world go through that mental process. And for anyone that doesn't know, Ray Dalio is currently, or he was, I think he might have retired, but he founded this company called Bridgewater Associates, and is the largest hedge fund in America, right? So this guy's definitely influential. What he says, you know, holds a lot of weight. And it's interesting to see where he is at in his Bitcoin journey. I think all roads lead to the same destination. I think it's just a matter of time, bro. Like and you could see like the transition. He went from this thing's a scam to no, this thing works to, you know, like it's like ever so slowly it's moving in the right direction. It's just taking a while. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts, bro?
Well, as everyone's saying in the chat, love to see the fiat brains do the mental gymnastics to try to understand what Bitcoin is, or rather just try to understand the phenomenon of people adopting Bitcoin. And there's a few things he said, you know, like Bitcoin has no relation to anything. I mean, I would argue that fiat has no relation to anything. They literally print the money out of thin air. You know, Bitcoin is at least linked to energy. Another point, and I think this is kind of the big point that you said about Bridgewater. You know, he said Bitcoin is a tiny thing that gets disproportionate attention. And this is why the big investors stay away from Bitcoin, because it is a tiny market. We're what, like, you know, $0.4 trillion market cap. Like, if these big investors do invest in Bitcoin, like they will move the needle and they will, you know, quote unquote, legitimize Bitcoin. And then the races really start. But I think the signal in here is the question that he asked, you know, like, what is money? That is the question that we all inevitably get to Bitcoin. And the way he put it, you know, money as we know it is in jeopardy, because as we continuously cover here on the show, as we continuously see in the Bitcoin space, the fiat system, the fiat currencies of the world are cracking in real time, and they're doing their best to try to stop the dam from completely breaking. And people that are paying attention, like us Bitcoiners, are seeing the writing on the wall, and this is why we are in Bitcoin. But I think the funniest part, and everyone was laughing in the chat as well. What do you say, the inflation linked coin? Like, lol, what? Like, he even started before he even said that. He started by saying, stable coins are basically the fiat system built again. And then he did this whole mental gymnastics of like, wait, but like people are adopting Bitcoin. We're going to need a new technology, a new coin that is linked to inflation so that people, what do you say, secure their buying power. Like, he's basically describing Bitcoin. Sats are my stable coin. And it's just when your brain is so saturated with the fiat system, it's very hard to think outside of that system. And I think this is why a lot of us millennials and Zoomers in general are so easily adaptable to Bitcoin, is because a lot of us have opted out of the madness and we didn't want to partake in the fiat system. So we don't have to relearn what money is. We're just learning what money is in real time with Bitcoin, and we're learning how to build on that Bitcoin standard. And so we don't have to deal with these mental gymnastics that you know, the Charlie Mungers and the Ray Dalios of the world have to go through to not only like appease their own knowledge, but also try not to look dumb, because you know the normal view of money is what the fiat world tells you.
What is that meme, Opti?
Which
I'm
one?
I'm new to Bitcoin. I'm here.
Yeah,
to fix
new to Bitcoin. I'm here to, exactly. Like, that's exactly what it's like. And the other one where they, you know, they're putting the square meme, the square block into the circle. Like, this is what I see so many people coming from the fiat world do. They try to fit Bitcoin not only in the memetics of the fiat world, but they try to fit it into their worldview where all of us are like, yo, you know, you don't change Bitcoin. Bitcoin changes you. It opens up a whole new perspective of what life can be. And this is what the Bitcoin standard provides.
Amen to that, brother. All right, everybody, let's get to the news. We got a lot to talk about.
The Daily News.
Brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air-gapped Bitcoin transactions. Scan and display QR codes directly on the device to sign transactions and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as the Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, and Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin.
All right, everybody. This was making quite a splash, and a lot of people asked us to cover it. Bitcoin community erupts in existential debate over NFT project Ordinals. Some are calling the new protocol, which stores NFTs on Bitcoin, an attack on the blockchain's original mission to conduct financial transactions. Others say the new use case should be embraced alongside other demands for block space. This month's debut on the Ordinals protocol, which stores not NFTs on the Bitcoin blockchain, is driving a wedge between Bitcoin purists who say the blockchain should be restricted to financial transactions and those who seek the network as large and versatile enough to host a range of use cases, even if that means meme-themed art. Now, here are my two sats on this. I think that, like, I mean, don't we believe in free markets? Like, someone wants to pay, you know, it's expensive. If someone wants to pay that to, like, store, you know, it's not even the JPEG. It's like, I believe it's like a hash of it. Like, what does it matter to me? Like if they want to pay that, sweet. I just don't think it's economically viable long term for you to, like, continuously do this on the Bitcoin blockchain. And I was on a PTC session show last night. And from my understanding, he said that this has happened in the past where, like, there used to be, like, this dice game and it used to fill a lot of the block. And you know, that was a problem. But what happened was it just became so expensive. And I think that this is the same story repeating itself. I think we have to be very careful when we ask miners to censor and stuff. But then also, this is one of the unintended consequences of adding features to Bitcoin. This is part of the Taproot upgrade, right? And the vast majority of the community went along with Taproot. They didn't have any problems with Taproot. And, you know, when you change things, there's unintended consequences, and this is an unintended consequence. And this is why we have to be very careful and why Bitcoiners are so hell-bent on, let's just leave it as awesome money. Like, we know what happens when you go the other direction. You start adding a ton of functionality. You create a centralized Frankenstein like Ethereum, right? And think about it, right? So if you want to add more functionality, it requires more resources to run that said software. And what tends to happen if it requires a certain amount of resources, then the barrier to entry is very high. So if you want to run your own node or your own computer running that, it requires a certain amount of hardware, right? That's why Bitcoin is the way it is. That's why the block size is the way it is. So the barrier to entry is relatively low, and anybody could buy or build their own node, and it's not going to break the bank, right? And then that causes decentralization versus centralization. So I think we have to be very careful, right? And I think this is an example of that. Narwhal Taco says Ordinals offers minimal benefit to Bitcoin, but adds extremely high risk. Bitcoin can't afford to trigger the blowback this could cause, not right now. Like I said, dude, I think that the economics are on our side, and I think market forces are just going to do what market forces do. Like, I think this is just expensive. Anyways, Ordinals in its current form wouldn't be possible without Bitcoin's 2017 SegWit upgrade and the more recent Taproot upgrade. SegWit helps scale Bitcoin by introducing a block field to hold witness data, signatures, and public keys for Bitcoin transactions. Potential vulnerabilities force developers to impose limits on the size of that data. When Taproot came along, it resolved those security concerns, allowing the old SegWit restrictions to be removed and paving the way for large chunks of NFT data to be stored on chain. Turns out it's the perfect foundation for ordinals. The new protocol has reignited an old age debate on whether Bitcoin should be used for non-financial purposes. In 2010, the pseudonymous inventor of Bitcoin, Satoshi Nakamoto, answered with a resounding no. I agree with that. Long before ordinals, a few old school Bitcoiners floated the idea of incorporating a domain name system, a DNS, into Bitcoin. The project dubbed BitDNS was quickly shot down by Satoshi. Quote, piling every proof of work quorum system in the world into one data set doesn't scale, Satoshi wrote, sealing the fate of BitDNS, which eventually morphed into a separate chain called Namecoin. With that as the backdrop, some members of the Bitcoin community are characterizing the NFT project as an attack, even as others move to embrace it. Quote, my response to that is, you know, Bitcoin isn't really for anything. It just exists. Rademar explained, quote, it has really transcended the intentions of its creators. The protocol's opponents argue that ordinals will compete with traditional payment transactions by crowding blocks and driving up transaction fees. Rademar disagrees, quote, to say that I say, well, there's the fee market pricing mechanism that Bitcoin has, and that lets people pay the amount of fees according to how valuable doing the transaction is to them. Quote, and that applies both to financial transactions and to inscriptions. And so the fee market already handles what people pay for transactions and what they think they're worth. And then miners just pick the transaction with the highest fees. So it all sort of fits into Bitcoin's security and incentive model. Satoshi's chitting didn't settle the debate, and two opposing schools of thought emerged, those who support financial applications on Bitcoin and those who were against it. Rademar has poured gasoline into the fiery debate with the launch of ordinals. Quote, it's also fair game for miners to censor the crap as a form of discouragement, said Blockstream CEO Adam Back. He later deleted that tweet, and he followed with, I retracted / deleted that as it was stupid and getting misinterpreted. So, I mean, look, like, clearly it's definitely made people feel passionately about this certain subject. And I'll tell you how I feel. Like, I think Bitcoin should stay doing what, but I, again, this is my personal opinion. I think Bitcoin should stay doing what it does best. And that is the best, soundest money the world has ever seen. I think that if you start adding trade-off, like if you start adding functionality, there will be trade-offs. And I think those trade-offs will inevitably lead to unintended consequences, and the more centralization of Bitcoin, right? The more trade-off, the more functionality added, the higher the resource requirement, the higher the centralization. What makes Bitcoin unique versus all the other cryptocurrencies and its high decentralization. So that is my main priority. That's what I'm looking at it. And I also, like, I'm not a really big fan of NFTs. Like, you can, what is it, like, call control C and just do an exact photocopy of it? Like, what is that about? And then it's like, oh, well, like, it's art on the blockchain. And my response would be that, like, you can't copy art. Like, if I, like, bring a Picasso and I'm like, I show this Picasso and you're like, oh, I took a picture of it. Yeah, that's a picture of the Picasso. I'm actually holding the Picasso. Like, good luck trying to copy it, bro. Versus, like, an NFT is, like, literally control C. And then you can make an exact replica of what it was you're holding. Like, the only thing you can't, like, really match is the hash, right? But, like, the actual image of which you're paying for, of which you're so-called storing these things, like, you can make an exact photocopy of it. So, like, I just think, like, the whole concept, but again, this is my personal opinion. I'm sure you guys think about it differently. But I think that specifically for Bitcoin, right? Like, what is our goal here? Our goal is the separation of money and state. In order to achieve the separation of money and state, we need decentralization, right? If we need decentralization, we want Bitcoin just doing one good thing really well. And that is being sound money, uncensorable or hard to censor, trust minimized. That's what you want it to be, right? When you start adding all these things, it kind of, in my opinion, just takes away from the original mission. But like that guy that was being quoted in the CoinDesk article, I do agree. I think the free market is going to do its thing. And it's just like, I just think that these things are going to be so expensive. But another, I would say, warning, right, is that a lot of Bitcoiners were very quick to jump on the Taproot upgrade. And I think this is what I call an unintended consequence of adding more features to Bitcoin, right? Like, if we knew this was going to happen with Taproot, do you think the community would have accepted it the way they did? I don't think so, right? So I think that this is a warning, right? I think that this is a warning into what happens when you try to change Bitcoin. I think Bitcoin is good the way it is. That's my humble opinion. What do you think, Opti?
Well, I mean, I'm with you. I want to separate money from state, and other people want to put JPEGs on the blockchain. You know, like, I want Bitcoin to be for financial transactions, but it is a permissionless, censorship-resistant network. And to me, it does seem like bloat, or some say it might be an attack. I don't know. Maybe it's just, what's that one saying, like, I'm going to butcher it, but it's on the idea of, like, and maybe it's like Occam's razor. I'm probably butchering it, but what you attribute to evil and malice may just be attributed to stupidity and short-sightedness. So, like, to me, I don't know. I kind of just view this as, bear market things. It does seem short-sighted. It does seem like a nothing burger because, like, this isn't anything new, really, as far as I'm concerned. Like you said about Satoshi's Dice, like, you've always been able to put data into the blockchain for a long time. And again, this is a censorship permissionless network. So, like, hey, what I want isn't necessarily what other people want. And, who am I to control the whole network? I have my views. I run my software and I use Bitcoin how I see fit, which other people are going to do the same thing. So, like, I think the free market will price the monkey JPEGs or what, like dick butt JPEGs or whatever the hell it was, out of the market. But, as we are seeing the world adopt Bitcoin, people want to continuously put JPEGs on the blockchain. I don't know, man. I'm not really a big fan of NFTs in the first place. And so to me, it does seem like this is an unnecessary addition and people trying to do shitcoin things on Bitcoin. But again, Bitcoin is permissionless. It is censorship resistant. I think this is a nothing burger and we really are making, a mountain out of a molehill. And it's just free market things. Like, hey, if they want to pay the fee to use the Bitcoin network, it is what it is. I'm sure the miners are happy out there. But this is bringing up the forever debate of ossification of the Bitcoin network. And, the more things change, the more things stay the same. And it seems like the 2017 block war debate is happening over and over and over again, and it will continue to happen. So to me, I mean, like I said, I think this is a nothing burger. And, just like, hey, I don't think it's anything new. You've been always been able to put data on the blockchain, but, like, I don't know. It does seem like bloat in my opinion, but hey, if you want to pay the fees, then it is what it is. I can't stop you. This is part of the Bitcoin network. This is what happens.
Amen. Amen to that. All right, everybody, quick regulatory update. Remember what happened, guys, like quick recap, right? We had the Senator Elizabeth Warren introduced, my fire alarm just went off, sorry about that. We had the Senator Elizabeth Warren who introduced the famous or infamous, depending on who you ask, crypto bill, right? You had Senator Elizabeth Warren introduce with Senator Marshall, you had her introduce something that would force software developers that are working on Bitcoin to register with the state to write software. Right. So you had a lot of bills that are introduced, and clearly where I think this is going is they want to regulate the industry. But like I've been saying, like, you can't really regulate Bitcoin. Like, you can regulate the on and off ramps, which I think that this is what it's actually going to affect. But you can't regulate Bitcoin itself. Right. Anyways, goes on to say, U.S. Senator Tim Scott, the top Republican on the Senate Banking Committee, wants to start work on a bipartisan regulatory framework for cryptocurrency on Thursday. He said in a Thursday statement, the committee should work to facilitate a bipartisan regulatory framework, said Scott, whose participation will be key because the committee would need to clear any major crypto legislation. Scott hasn't addressed his views on crypto, so the industry has been eager to hear from him. He's now moved into the position once occupied by former Senator Pat Toomey. Now, if you guys don't remember, Pat Toomey was very, very positive towards the industry. He looked at it in a positive light. So let's see how Senator Tim Scott looks at it. And he goes on to say, quote, in recent years have seen expansive growth in the digital assets industry, including an increasing number of consumers interacting with cryptocurrencies. Quote, several high profile failures resulted in lost consumer assets, exposing regulatory gaps and highlighted concerns with illicit finance. So it's going to be really interesting to see where this goes. I think that there is going to be inevitable crypto legislation. I think it's just a matter of what that legislation is going to be. And I think that's really dependent also on the political climate, right? I don't think it's a coincidence that a lot of this legislation is finally making moves right after the FTX SBF blow up. Like, I don't think that's a coincidence, right? We know with Caitlin Long's bank, right? It was denied, right? They waited her out for like a year. She sued. And then they finally revealed to her, it was like last Friday. And then it came out also with an announcement. Remember that, Opti? The Friday announcement, right? They wait till the weekend to release the news so it doesn't make such a big splash. And it coincided with a White House press release on the crypto industry. So, man, it kind of goes back to what I've been saying, right? Which is like the people that are responsible for regulating the industry, a lot of them have a lot to lose if the industry succeeds, right? So talk about misalignment of incentives. And I think that this is why it's so important. And, you know, Corey Clipson has, I think it's a phenomenal piece. And I really think that it's going to define really the next 5-10 years, right? Which is the race to avoid the war. We need this local minority in the U.S., if you live in the U.S., so that any hostile legislation towards the industry will be impossible to pass. So it really is. It's a race to avoid the war. It's a race of adoption, right? Because if you have a lot of people holding Bitcoin, then what do you think? It's going to be very difficult for democratically elected politicians to pass hostile crypto Bitcoin legislation. Now, towards the industry, you can't really touch Bitcoin itself, but that's a whole other rabbit hole. Now, the one thing that I want to highlight before I pass it on to Opti is the importance that this stays bipartisan and this doesn't become a partisan issue, right? This doesn't become a Democratic issue, a Republican issue. Bitcoin, and this is why we try to stay as politically neutral on Simply, it helps both parties equally, right? The left is all about the little guy, right? It helps the little guy because it gives them the ability to save without debasement, which is via inflation. And then it helps the people on the right, which are more wealth. They like to conserve wealth, right? Like, you know, low taxes, stay away from me, sovereign, et cetera, et cetera. So it helps both sides, right? And I think that's really important. Also, the community of people that are unbanked, right? Because they can't afford bank account. Bitcoin is for them. It's perfect. You just download a Bitcoin wallet. It's easy, right? So that's the last thing that I want to happen, right? Which is it just becomes a highly partisan issue. And then, you know, whether the Democrats or Republicans are in power, you know, the country kind of shifts towards this hostility towards the industry. So I think it's really important for it to stay bipartisan, because I think that is ideally where, and again, it's not a partisan thing. I don't think Bitcoin is a partisan thing, right? So anyways, my two sats. Opti, what are your thoughts on this? I know you're gonna hit it from the more the more militant angle. So what are your thoughts, bro?
Well, first, I mean, obviously, Nico, I love your perspective. I think it's a very valid one. You know, as much as we talk about on Twitter and in the Bitcoin space about, you know, the inferiority of the political game in regards to an open monetary network. Historically, I think regulations will inevitably hurt technological innovation. Historically, again, this is the case, and computer literates, the tech Luddites, are going to overstep because of their lack of understanding for, you know, protection and to help the citizen out there. So, like, on the one hand, I think the regulation is inevitable. You know, like the politicians are going to pull a trick and they're going to find ways to get their grubby fingers on the network, or at least try to. But in my opinion, as a Bitcoiner, as someone that runs a software, like Bitcoin is regulated every 10 minutes by everyone running a node. And I'd like to see the free market do its thing. But obviously, I am not that naive. And I understand that politicians and government officials are going to make laws. And again, it just like historically we've seen that when officials, the bureaucrats try to regulate technology, they shoot themselves and their citizenry in the foot. So I just really hope that if they do some regulation, they don't overstep their boundaries and they don't stop the innovation that is Bitcoin. And like, because we say consistently, you know, like Bitcoin is here to help humanity, like it's here to help people. And I just hate to see the American politicians. I mean, we are Americans. I'm an American, and I want to see America thrive. Like, I want to see our politicians do what's best for us as well as the rest of the world. But obviously, like, put America first, the meme, where it's like, let's not shoot ourselves in the foot by overregulating this because of the entrenchment of the current political system and you know, the revolving door that is Washington. So, you know, I personally, I'm not that hopeful that this is going to not shoot ourselves in the foot. But hey, you know, maybe there's a slight chance that we can have some favorable laws. Like, let's just treat Bitcoin in favorable light and drop the obstacles. But hey, I don't know, man.
No, I agree. I think in an ideal world, that's what we want. But I think that, you know, I think politicians that are used to basically having this like total control over something, I think for them, it is going to be a very tough pill to swallow. Also, Bitcoin isn't jurisdictionally dependent or geographically dependent to a certain location. So if the U.S. becomes hostile, and we always make this joke, Opti, me and you, right? I'm like, bro, we're going to try to hold it down, but if all else fails, we're moving to El Salvador. I tell my girlfriend this too, and she freaks out. But it's like, you know, like, look, if they made it illegal, if they 6102'd it, fine, El Salvador it is, right? But obviously, we don't want it to get to that point. But what I'm trying to say is that the countries that ban Bitcoin are just banning themselves from Bitcoin, and they're banning themselves from the benefits of Bitcoin rather than making it go away. I mean, look at the drug war. Like, and now you're trying to tell me that like drugs are physical, right? You have to like carry the packages and you have to whatever. And they weren't able to do that. They weren't able to like extinguish it. Now what you're making the argument that like, they're going to try to extinguish this thing that lives in cyberspace. Like, I don't know, man. And then you can make the moral argument against drugs, right? They're responsible for deaths. They're responsible for addiction, et cetera, et cetera. But like, what is the moral argument against Bitcoin? You know, like what is the argument there, right? Like, I don't know what it is, right? So I don't know. I think a percentage of the population is just never going to be okay with, you know, them doing certain things. And I think it's really easy just to run your own node. It's really easy to take self-custody, man. And I think that's where gold failed, because it's so heavy. The properties of it is very hard for you to take custody of your gold. And that led to the centralization of the custody of gold and just a handful of banks. And that made it very easy for the US government to seize it with the 6102 order. Remember the 6102 order, everyone like kind of visions in their heads, like, that they just went to people's houses and they're like, give me your gold. Like, I'm sure there is examples of that, but the vast majority of gold was already sitting in banks, and the government is like, now it's illegal for citizens to own it. And that gold stayed where it's at, you know? And then the banks kind of were like, hey, I'm sorry, it's illegal now. And they couldn't give it. Right. So yeah, it's, this is why we talk about the importance of self-custody. We talk about it so much and we hammer the point in home, right? Because if you don't take self-custody, like what happened with gold, I think will happen again. I think it's inevitable, to be honest. I don't know. It's just speculating on the future. Who says? I mean, who knows? But anyways, everybody, let's get to the memes. No, let's get to the culture. Let's get to the culture. Let's do it.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
All right. This is the culture.
It is the culture, but first I want to let you guys know about another awesome Bitcoin conference, the largest Bitcoin conference in Austin, Texas. You definitely want to check it out. August 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th. It's not a shitcoin NFT or blockchain event. They talk about Bitcoin, and more Bitcoin. You want to take advantage of the promo code all caps simply Bitcoin to get a discount on your BitBlock Boom tickets. Also, check out Unconfiscatable. It's going to be this awesome Bitcoin conference in Las Vegas, Nevada. There's also a poker tournament as well. Speaker list includes Tone Vase, Jimmy Song, Adam Back, Jack Maulers, Greg Foss, and many, many more. You can use the promo code SIMPLY10. Get a big discount on your Unconfiscatable tickets. A lot of conferences that we're going to do this year. We're going to do Bitcoin 2023. You guys have the promo code down below. We're going to do BitBlock Boom, BitBlock Loon, Unconfiscatable, and of course, Pacific Bitcoin. It's going to be, I'm looking forward to that. So lots of Bitcoin conferences. Hope to see you guys there. Honestly, Opti and I met for the first time in the flesh at a Bitcoin conference. It was at the BitBlock Boom conference. If you haven't gone, I really suggest that if you're looking to get a job in the industry, if you're looking to meet some of your favorite content creators, some of your favorite Bitcoiners, some of your favorite authors, you can meet them in the flesh and super humble, like don't have a problem with them. You could shake their hand. You can have a conversation with them. You can ask them questions, right? And bro, it's there's something about it, man. There's something special about Bitcoin conferences. I hope to see a lot of you guys there. Anyways, Opti,
find your tribe at the conference.
Starting with Beauty on, I see.
Yeah. All right.
And so, ending the week strong.
Yeah, So before I get in, guys, this is something we talk about consistently, and it's very fitting after the new segment about regulation. I think this is one of those call to actions that we tell you guys consistently. You know, we start with telling everyone to take Bitcoin into self-custody using the Bitcoin wallets that we like, you know, Blue, Jade, Cold Card, Seed Signer, Green Wallet, Spectre, Sparrow, Moon, Breeze, Pine, Phoenix. I think I named them all today. And I think since it is Friday, I kind of wanted to not only give you guys some inspiration and motivation, but kind of refocused conversation, and we talk about this all the time, of the importance of what we are doing here. Guys, we are trying to separate money from state. So while I know on Bitcoin Twitter, there's a lot of skirmishes, you know, Bitcoiners attacking Bitcoiners attacking shitcoiners attacking Bitcoiners. I think sometimes it's important to refocus the conversation and realize what we really are doing here. We are battling the biggest cartel in the world, the money cartel. Like, we are in an information war, an asymmetric war against the central bankers. And against the dollar, like, this is the ultimate shitcoin, and this is what we do consistently. And of course, you know, the brainwashing of the fiat world has thoroughly saturated the majority of planet Earth, and most people are so indoctrinated by the fiat system that they can't look outside of that system. Look at Ray Dalio in the beginning. Anyways, I saw this thread by Beauty on, and I thought it's very fitting because it got me riled up. And it's back to this idea I talk about all the time in our spaces about having this winning mentality and understanding where we are and the power that you guys as an individual have because you run the Bitcoin software. So let me just get into this thread and we'll jump back and forth and we'll get Nico's take on it. So I'm going to read the thread by Beauty on. He goes, "I'm not worried about altcoiners or altcoins. They're all going to be exsanguinated and extinguished by Bitcoin. I'm doing everything I can to make and ensure it happens. We have a team of killer knights to ride into battle, cleansing the world of altcoins and the king altcoin, the king shitcoin, the US dollar. Only investing in Bitcoin companies and using Bitcoin altcoin yourself, and spreading it will stop altcoiners and altcoins and the final altcoin boss, the US dollar. If you're investing in wind farms expecting this to kill the dollar, you're insane. It's like stirring chicken soup to make it rain. You have a once in a lifetime chance to change the world. Don't waste your energy concentrating on the people who will lose whether you exist or not. Use all your efforts to promote ethical Bitcoin wallets and ethical Bitcoin companies that are working to affect the transformation. The sword of destiny is in your hand. These are the days of the round table of heroes and greatness, days of legend. Their like will never be seen again. Wield the sword of justice and cut our enemies down. And on this note, shouts out to Mike or Muzz. He did this tweet and I absolutely loved it. I referenced it yesterday before the show with Nico, and it's something that I consistently harp on. And I really like how he put it. He goes, a negative mental attitude can lead to losing. And again, Beautyon commented on this to make an even bigger point. He goes, this is true. The fact of the matter is that there was nothing stopping Satoshi from releasing Bitcoin, nothing stopping Paul Zimmerman from releasing GPG, and many, many other such cases. The barrier most people face is in them and not in the real world. It is the most difficult to overcome. And this is something I talk about consistently. It's having this winner's mentality, having this, I will go through war to ensure that what I am doing will happen, and not stopping, being persistent, consistent, and understanding that we have the tools to literally escape the fiat slavery. And it reminded me of the quote by Buckminster Fuller, and he says, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. And my point in all this today, guys, is to just bring up the very basic point that, guys, we have the tools. You need to refocus your energy and understand that sometimes we need to zoom out from the forest or from the trees to the forest and understand that, look, our enemies are not the shitcoiners. They're not even other Bitcoiners. We are battling the fiat cartel. The central bankers are the real enemies out there. And those are the ones that we should be focusing our attention on. And this is why we consistently tell you guys, taking Bitcoin is the revolution. The important thing that we need to do here is try to get more people taking Bitcoin into self-custody, more people understanding why we hodl Bitcoin, why the fiat system is stealing from them, why the politicians are backed by the money printer game. If I said in the past, you know, the political game is backed by the fiat game. And at sometimes, you know, you might have to hit people with the truth. You might have to hit people with these facts. But other times, you just got to hit people with a good story so that they can latch on to why we do what we do. No, and it's not about being, it's not about like lying to them. It's more about, as we say all the time, winning the hearts and minds of the masses. And this is something that I've been harping on a lot. It's being a shining example of being a good Bitcoiner, living a good life so more people want to have what you have. And then showing them that Bitcoin is the reason why you live this life. And guys, it's just an acknowledgement of where we are in the world. We have the greatest opportunity to free humanity from here on out for the rest of human history. Like, take a moment and let this sink into your consciousness and let that reverberate in every action that you do. We are doing something very important here. And, you know, people can try to troll us. People can say that we're crazy, but Bitcoin is taking back the power of the people. Bitcoin is giving you something to build towards. Bitcoin is giving you a foundation so that you and your future children and your family can stop getting robbed. Like, I think this is the most important thing that we can be doing. I don't think we could be doing anything more honorable than spreading Bitcoin to as many people as possible and having them hold Bitcoin in self-custody. Like, we are fighting the biggest war right now, and it's an information war. It's a peaceful revolution. But don't get it twisted. Separating money from state is definitely going to be something that we are in for the long run. And I just want people to, you know, get focused, get your energy right. And it's back to this whole idea, like, get your mind right, get your body right, get your cold storage set up correct. Because, guys, we are in the then they fight you stage. So just be prepared and understand, like, we will win. Bitcoin incentives will win, and they are winning. And the more that these corporate press, the more we get bureaucrats and politicians and central bankers to come out and denigrate Bitcoiners, the more I know we are winning. And they can try to stop us. They can try to stop the Bitcoin network, but you can't ban Bitcoin. You can only ban yourself from Bitcoin. So as they get, you know, as they have fun staying poor, Bitcoiners will start to accumulate all the resources, and we will effectuate and change the world in real time. And it's just an honor to be here on the front lines with you guys, and let's just keep it going. And
Man, dude, I love that quote, dude. I want to pull it back up again. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. And I look, and then kind of tie this in with what we were talking about with Ray Dalio in the very beginning, right? And it's fascinating him like slowly coming to terms and then like seeing the paradigm shift. Like, he sees the writing on the wall, but I think he spent so much time in the fiat matrix that he can't quite comprehend and accept this paradigm shift that we're heading into, man. But yeah, I agree with you.
The world will never be the same because Satoshi dropped the Bitcoin software on the world.
Amen to that. All right, everybody, let's talk about some memes. Lots of memes.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
Kaboom.
I love how we have to say that now. Like, one of us has to say it now.
It's a great name. Kaboom.
Anyways, guys, this is the meme review. As I just said in the culture segment, we are in an information war.
Have you heard about Kaboom Racks?
Kaboom Racks.
Kaboom.
Dude, they get the best marketing. All right, guys, this is the meme review. This is your favorite portion of the show. And as I say, I'm literally 21,000,000% convinced that we are in an information war. And the way we win this is by continuously spreading the signal, continuously reverberating the truth, because the only thing they have on us is the monopoly on truth by the corporate press, and basically flooding you with so much noise that the average person doesn't know what's up from down. But this is why we meme. This is why we put truth in art. And this is why we, you know, ridicule stupid ideas with humor, because this is how the world works. You Hey, I don't make the rules, I just follow them. As we say, tweets are the bullets, memes are the artillery, and you guys are the frontline soldiers. Anyways, this first meme, shouts out to Greg Zaj. Greg Zaj won on Twitter. And this is my view. We got Always Sunny. We got Dennis here. And he goes, hey, D, they're putting JPEGs on the time chain again. And then D goes, I don't care. And we got Dennis. He's like, shit, I don't care either. And he just goes, ordinals. Like, this. Again, all right. On the same vein, shouts out to Brian Trolls, aka Bitcoin isn't about you. And this is the same. I honestly didn't know Nico was going to bring up ordinals again today. I just kind of found some good memes, and you know, again, synchronicities, and it's working out. Anyways, we have another Simpsons meme here today, and it's a bus driver, and he goes, "Don't make me tap the sign," and he taps the sign, and this is a tweet by Brian, and he goes, if I hear one more idiot ask, what if someone puts a bad picture in the blockchain? You have always been able to put random data and pictures on the blockchain. You literally cannot stop it. Brian Trolls gets it. Anyways, the next meme, at Bold Bitcoin, he goes, hashtag Bitcoin isn't going to a million. The dollar is dropping to a Satoshi. Oof, bars. Anyways, this is the Drake meme, and we got the Drake, no, Hotline Bling going, Bitcoin is going to a million. And he goes, no, Drake going, yeah, the dollar is dropping to a Satoshi soon, soon, very, very soon. And this next meme, shouts out to 21JCLP, and he goes, HODL, our portal to a better future. Hashtag Bitcoin 24/7, and you can see the HODL portal of Bitcoin going into a brighter, better future. This is what happens when you hodl those Bitcoins. This is what happens when you go into the Bitcoin rabbit hole. Your whole life changes and hopefully you become a better person. Anyways, this next one, shouts out to Online Hodl. I thought this one was absolutely hilarious because yesterday, Rustin and Nico and I were laughing at Gigi doing, what was it? What's the show, like Hard Money or something? Hard Money Conversations with Matt O'Dell?
No.
What is it?
That's the Swan Show.
No, it was called
Bitcoin,
something.
It is the Bitcoin Magazine show. I forget.
Yeah, I swear it was Hard Money something. But anyways,
that's the Swan Show.
All right, whatever. Anyways, the meme is
here. I'm looking.
Yeah, you can look it up while I cover this meme. And okay, so Online Hodl goes, Normie, show me something that will help me understand Bitcoin. Something a regular Joe can watch to know Bitcoin isn't just for criminals. Me, sure. Here's my friend Gigi with a pillowcase on his head and glasses and a BTC Pay server hat on. Oh man, I love this one because Gigi's one of my favorite Bitcoiners. But like, I'd be lying to you guys if I didn't acknowledge the fact if you showed a normal person this picture, they'd be like, "What in the world is going on?"
Is that a pillowcase?
I think it is. Shout out to Gigi, man. This is so funny.
He takes his privacy seriously.
Dude, shout out to Gigi. Goated like with the sauce. I like that. All right. Find the show, Nico? Did you find the show?
Yes, I did. So the Swan Show is called
We Know That One. What is
Natalie
Burnell? Show?
And the new show from Bitcoin. No, I'm just trying to clarify.
Okay.
The new show from Bitcoin Magazine, it's called Freedom Money.
Oh,
and
okay.
I think that Odell is hosting that. So
awesome.
Just to be specific, both shows are awesome.
Appreciate it. So I was kind of close. All right. Anyways, this next meme is by the BTC therapist. Again, he's killing it in the meme game. And he goes, hashtag Bitcoin is a journey. And we got some steps here. And we got, a businessman at the bottom going, inflation is killing me. And then the next step, where Ray Dalio is, what is money? And then the next step, wait, what is Bitcoin? And he's starting to think in Bitcoin. And then he's got a little briefcase and he goes, first Bitcoin purchase. And then the next step, and it goes, unit of account. And then the next step, where he is the victor on top, holding one whole Bitcoin. Shouts out to you, therapist. This is the Bitcoin's hero's journey. And then shouts out to Darthcoin. He tagged me in this morning, and of course I had to put it in. This is a meme by @hodl, never saw it on. He goes, how cold is your Bitcoin cold storage? And you can see here, it's an office that's just completely snowed out, completely iced out. That's how cold your cold storage should be.
Literal cold storage.
Literal cold storage.
Oh, man.
And on the vein of cold storage, I'm going to give it one glove that I wear on my morning walks when it's very cold out there, keeping my hands warm while I'm holding the cold storage.
I'm going to give it a dancing squirrel. That's my score. My score is a dancing squirrel. Boom. Boom. Anyways, everybody, this is Simply Bitcoin Live. While you drop your meme scores in the live chat, I want to tell you guys about our awesome merch sponsor, RepresentLTD.com. They make Simply Bitcoin merch. Opti's wearing the peace bombs. Love that.
Truth bombs.
The hoodie version of that is sold out. There's t-shirts left. Also, we got hats as well. Check out representltd.com. Search Simply Bitcoin. The link's down below in the video description. And you could use the promo code simply-bitcoin. Get yourself a discount. Anything off the representltd.com store. Anyways, Opti, let's get through some scores. First one by Internet Sophie. I give the memes a vibrating Tempur-Pedic. I'm looking forward towards the vibrating Tempur-Pedic. That sounds
Is that the only thing you're looking forward to?
HODL coin. I give the memes I-bonds, just buy Bitcoin. All right. Next one, we got Hammersaw. I give the memes a Bitcoin ski mask. Very, very nice. Very, very nice. Next one, the P-Man Van. I give the memes bashing Bitcoin while promoting Bitcoin. Parentheses, kept it clean today. Very, very nice. Next one by Igor. I give the memes the lonely dancing squirrel and Ray Dalio's head that keeps whispering to him, quote, you don't have enough Bitcoin. That's why he's saying that. Phil C. I give the memes Munger's dirty diapers. Very, very nice. Frank Arn. I give the memes one floaty unstoppable Chinese.
Hold on. This next one isn't a score, but I want to highlight it anyways. Opti the Michael Jackson of Bitcoin with his one glove. Yo.
Kumo. Shout out Kumo. Is one of our awesome writers, by the way. I give it a copy-pasted Microsoft Paint wizard. Very nice. Justin Griffin says, I give the memes Nico ignoring his fire alarm the same way Ray Dalio is ignoring basic Bitcoin education.
Oh, man.
That is hilarious. All right. Narwhal Tacos, I give the memes a better world for our children. Bitcoin. Very nice.
Let's go.
Luke T, I give the meme Charlie Munger's life insurance premium. Oh, man. Josh Alex, I give the memes a Chinese spy balloon and its cost of inflation.
All right, I'm putting this one in just because I really want to know if Nika knows what this is.
I give the memes a Blumpkin. I don't know, but it sounds familiar.
Perfect. All right, last one.
Edgar C, I give the memes a 4 megabyte Munger monkey ordinal JPEG. Oh, man, this is starting to become my favorite part of the show. All right. Also, guys, check out Simply Bitcoin's Telegram group. Shout out to Darth Coin holding it down. Go to www.t.me/SimplyBitcoinTV. It's absolutely free. It's a party in there. Also, check out Simply Bitcoin Unfiltered, www.simplybitcoin.news. It's a written version of this show. Shout out to our awesome writers. There's so many of you guys now dropping the signal. Love all you guys. Anyways, everybody, software or website?
It is Friday, so I guess it's shout out to everyone on Fountain. It's plebsites, I guess.
It's plebsites.
Wait, what?
Plebsites.
Was there no audio on that one? Anyways. All right, guys, first and foremost, I told you guys this week that if you guys clip us on Fountain, I will bring them up. And I remember that we did have one this week. So shout out to Mark Jones 41 on Twitter. He did a Fountain clip of Dr. Jeff Ross, Dr. Bull on Bitcoin. Dr. Bull goes from bear to bull on the show. You guys, honestly, I think the first 20 minutes, like the whole interview is absolute fire. But that first 20 minutes of Dr. Jeff Ross explaining his bull thesis for why he is turning bullish, I think is a must listen for not only Bitcoiners out there, but to give to your normie friends that are on the fence. So again, I can't cover everything, but appreciate to all you guys streaming a sat. I couldn't cover every single stream because you guys are blowing us up in a good way. So I took as much as possible so that I get everyone's name here, and we'll cover them right now. So first, we got some 9 set streams by user 7890839347730068, and this is episode 658. Michael Saylor versus Jamie Dimon. Next, we got some 14 sat streams by Clark Ian. Shouts out to you. I think you might have been the top streamer this last week. And these were on, at least this last stream was on Dr. Jeff Ross. Bullish on Bitcoin, Simply Bitcoin. IRL, some more from user 789. All right, next page. Again, some more Clark Ian stream. Shouts out to you, bro, and user 789. I thought I cleaned these up a little bit, but anyway, shout out to you, bro. And then we got some 9 sat streams from How Was Right on Simply Bitcoin. How Was Right? Shouts out to you guys. Next one, we got user 131096182128434, and this is on the Dr. Jeff Ross bullish on Bitcoin, Simply Bitcoin IRL. And he goes, for some reason, 100 sats looks like $100 to me when I have to spend it. Sorry, Nico. Shouts out to you, bro. All right, this next one is a 9 sat stream. Well, there's a couple by rag3_af, and these ones were on episode 667, Europe's de facto open source, in parentheses, Bitcoin ban. Okay, let me get to the next page. Again, some more by random user 131096182128437 4. Some 9sat streams on episode 668. Charlie Munger calls for Bitcoin ban. This next one, a 475sat boost from Darth Coin. Shouts out to you, bro. And this was on the, again, Dr. Jeff Rosch, bullish on Bitcoin, simply Bitcoin IRL. Excellent IRL. Very good points. Again, guys, go check that one out. If you aren't bullish, go get bullish. And this next one, again, I know I said I'm trying not to double the comments, but shout out to Darth Coin, 632 sats boost income and a comment. He goes, here's the 666 sats because you skipped the evil episode of 666. Really funny that Jack broke the wallet of Satoshi with promoting Noster to shitcoiners. And I think this last user, I think I might have named him, but anyways, user 131096182128437 4 on episode 668.
Right. No. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us on another episode of Simply Bitcoin IRL. Find us on our audio only Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Fountain, and appreciate everybody who's joined the Value for Value economy, streaming us sats. Love you all, guys. I hope you all enjoy your awesome weekend. If you enjoyed the content, make sure to hit that like button. Consider subscribing if you feel like we provided you value. The number one thing you could do to help this video and in fact help all Bitcoin content is share the content. Get it out there. Just share it. Text it to your friends. Orange pill them. That's how we push the peaceful revolution forward. Anyways, we'll see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of Simply Bitcoin IRL. We have Simply Bitcoin Live. So see you on Monday. And we have Simply Bitcoin IRL lined up for next week, as well as TTO. And Russin is going to be dropping some clips over the weekend. And we have a new video essay tomorrow premiering at noon. Love you all. Have a great weekend. And we'll see you Monday morning. Peace out.